quickly.
We're in Parshas Vayera.
The last mimer in Parshas Vayera we'll see today on page 10 of Zion. Pretty close to the beginning of the book, page 10 of Zion. Vayera Elav Hashem. Hashem appeared to Avram and said, Kachom Hayom, at the heat of the day. Next page, I want one more page. It's the last mimer. Right here. Pirush Razal, sorry, Pirush Rashi Zal, Hunasan Lo Eitza Alamina. Rashi explains there that why does it mention that Avram was there, the Elone Mamre, in the plains of Mamre? Mamre was a person. Why is he mentioned? And he says, Rashi, that Mamre gave Avraham Avinu a certain Eitza, a certain bit of counsel about the bris. Lepikach Nigla Elav Bechelka, and therefore Hashem appeared to Abraham in the chelek, in the portion of Mamre, the plains of Mamre. Ulechora hukasha kashah avana. This is something difficult to understand. This question is raised by the Meforshim. Sha'avram avinu hayatzorech la'atzas Mamre l'kayim mitzvah sabari baruch hu. Did Abraham need an etza, advice from Mamre to fulfill Hashem's commandment to do the bris? Hashem told Avram to do the bris. He did the bris. Didn't need Mamre's 2 cents. What does it mean? Well, there's a lot said about that. He's going to look at it al derech avoda. Alahavim ze al derech avoda. Try and understand this in a way which will teach us about our own service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyadua, because it is known, Shehatorah HaKadosha humarulanu tamid. The Torah is always teaching us something, a way, as to how to serve God. So in this story, so to speak, the real life event, we can learn something that will bear on our own Avodas Hashem. Gam lehavin siyum haparsha miseder lech lecha. Also, if we look back at the previous parsha, lech lecha, and the way it concludes, and it says, V'chol anshe beiso miknas kaspo. When Abraham is circumcising all the members of his household, it gives different categories for people who he circumcises. Shemefari hakasuv gimel madregos. There are 3 levels, 3 categories of people there that were circumcised. Lahavim zel derech avod. So let's try and understand this in a way of Avodas Hashem. Hine yadua, it is known. Sheyesh Gimel Bechinas Aralas. There are 3 types of orla, of foreskin. Asher Muto Al Ha'adam L'Sakein Osamu L'Hasira. And it is a person's responsibility to fix them and to remove them. V'nikraim, and they are called, V'nikraim, they are called Orel Lev. There's the foreskin which covers our heart. Orel Basor, the foreskin that covers our flesh, or also fasayim, and the foreskin of our lips. Now we, of course, are most familiar with the foreskin of the flesh because that's what we cut off for a bris milah. That's what we call orla. But there are 2 other kinds. There's the heart, and there's the mouth also. He's going to talk about all these 3 things. Ubederach klal, in general, when we refer to them, Hema Hashte Brisos, there are 2 covenants, 2 kinds of bris. Shetzorech Ha'adam Lihiyos Sholem Bishtehem, where a person must become complete in both of these areas. Bris HaLashon U'Bris HaMa'or. One is called the Bris of the Tongue, and the other is called the Bris of the Flesh. The 2 general kinds of bris. So we're talking about the power of speech, and we're also talking about emotion, passion, sexuality. The 2nd one. Orel sifasayim hum yishapagam es bris halosha. The person who's called Orel sifasayim, that means that he somehow hurt or defected his bris halosha, his covenant of speech. And because he's not speaking properly, then he's causing his bris halashon to have Orla there, something thick, impenetrable, there, getting in his way. As we'll explain in a minute.
Assume that brings sort of something without the question. Brains are also signs of
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Right.
Right.
We have a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu was like referring to a particular labor of this, a sign that was a detour that he was referring to, that he was afraid would affect his mission.
I don't know that he's referring to an Avera. I've never seen it brought that he was referring to an Avera. But it kind of brings out that question. But not to my knowledge. Shal Yedeze Nifkam Diburo says, what happens if a person misuses the gift of speech? So we speak negatively about people, or we lie, or... what happens to us then? Then we create a pagan. Sha'af diburei Torah utfila sheyotzim mipiv hein b'li shum chiyus. So that even when we do speak holy words like Torah or davening, they're lifeless. Because we've already misused our gift of speech. And if we misuse it, it creates an impairment. And even when we're trying to use it in a spiritually edifying way, it's going to be lacking life, vitality.
When we're talking about creating
pagan, yeah. What's the... either a defect or an impairment, right?
But this is temporary.
It is temporary. It can be rectified, right? Which he's going to address a little bit. Right. We're going to try and rectify it. Rak mehasefa ulafut. So what does that mean when our words are lacking life? It means that they're just from the lips and outward. There's no content. Just completely external speech. No content. It doesn't seem like it, right? It does not have enough tofen to do that. Vehine bris halashon bris hamor mufavanim zeh keneged zeh. This is a spiritual insight. It's also a very profound, I think, personality insight too. Of course, they go hand in hand. That the bris, the covenant that we keep in regards to our speech, is related to the covenant of our flesh, meaning our bris milah. Human speech and human sexuality, he says, are directly related to each other. The yodua misforim kedoshim. Now he explains a certain process. Asher mipagam bris haloshon. If a person misuses speech, nimshach hapagam bebris hamor, they will eventually also have a pagam in the area of sexuality, what he calls bris hamor, the bris of the flesh. The nikra arav baser, and then he is called that he still has a foreskin on his flesh. Now, of course, he has a bris milah. You don't see it there physically. It's talking about a spiritual thing here. That when one misuses speech, the consequence of that is that we're going to get messed up also when it comes to sexuality also. You could look at that, and this is just a speculation on my part, that they're both intrinsically creative processes. Hashem created the world through speech. Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Yor. Human speech is a creative process. Sexuality is a creative process. Creates love, creates closeness, and could create children. So when one of those processes of creativity, which is speech, is misused, that affects the whole system. And then the other manifestation of that process, sexuality, is going to be affected by that. That's one way to look at it. He didn't say that. That was one way to look at that. He just made the equation. Yes, Mark?
Yeah, let me see if I get this right. So in other words, if someone is what we call a habitual lashon hara, mm-hmm. going on frequently,
right,
and there's no way to rehabilitate. Does that mean that there is some other aspect that you had discussed earlier, a problem?
It's very possible that there be other problems as well. I don't want to say it in a categorical fashion, but very possible that there's another problem. So what happens then? Step number three is that your heart becomes closed off, insensitive, emotionally unable to feel. Like you're morally vacant. Shazehu habechinas timtum halev shein mekabel shum hisarus midibure torah tefila. That's what Asforim HaKadoshim called timtum halev, a phrase that we've seen many times. The heart is clogged up, it's closed over, there's like a numbness, a lack of sensitivity. And he says it's three steps. It's speech, by misusing that, we then also have an impairment in our sexuality, there's something wrong about our priorities or our abilities to relate to our spouse in that way, and then a person becomes emotionally closed off. Timtum halev. And then I think also is quite clear that as a person starts to become, to go down, you know, that path of spiritual degradation, they're no longer capable of feelings of spiritual elevation. And, you know, you have a society where you have people who have no conscience. That's the extreme. No conscience. No real identity with right and wrong intellectually or emotionally. And of course, using an extreme example, if you put it back to us, where are we emotionally numb, insensitive, dead? And what's the source of that insensitivity? And it might be this. Va'ath im nis'ore lefanim im lezeh shum kiyum. Even if a person maybe has an emotional awakening and they feel inspired by something, it doesn't last. V'zehu misad shenitamtem halev machmas shenimshach achar hachamidu d'liba. That's because this person's heart has been spiritually closed off because they are too immersed in other physical desires. That's going to drain this person of their ability to feel spiritually. So it goes hand in hand. This is another aspect of it. If a person is emotionally immersed in immorality, they do not leave any room for their emotions of spirituality. Kamosha Kasuv, Vinit Me Samban, it says in the Pasuk, Vinit Me Samban, you shall become Tame to them, Bedorshu Razal, and the Chachamim Darshan, Unitam Temba. There's no Aleph in that word, so the Darshan of you will become closed off, emotionally numb. V'azeh, moru lanu ha-Torah ha-Kedosha, she-yisakeinu odem ha-Gimel ha-Rala. So he says, the Torah here, at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, is referring, teaching us to fix, rectify, these three areas of Orla. And those are the three categories of people that it says Abraham circumcised. Remember, this is not Alderach HaPshat. He's talking Alderach Remez. He's alluding to these concepts. It's not the simple meaning of the verse. The Zehu. So the first one is B'chol Anshei Beiso, all the people of Abraham's household. What does that represent? Mora Al Tikun Bris HaMor. This refers to the bris of the flesh, meaning our bris mila, meaning sexuality. Shemavur b'midrash anshe beso zu ishta. The midrash says, what does that mean, anshe beso, the people of his house? Zu ishta, that's your wife. Your wife is the person of your house. V'zen nimshach mipagam bris hama'or v'hatikun hu l'kadesh atzmo ach b'mutrula. As he says many times, the tikkun in that area, because here's a relationship where not only is a sexual relationship sanctioned, but it's sanctified. It's kedushin. So what does that mean? You're doing something wrong. It's right. You're with your wife. He says the wrong part is how you go about it. And his idea of kadesh as atzmacha b'mutrula, sanctify yourself with that which is permitted to you? Are you caring about that other person? Are you thinking about that person, their needs, and are they thinking about you in the same way? Is there mutuality in that relationship? Is there love in that relationship? Is there selflessness in that relationship? All those things that come so much into play in an intimate relationship. So Kadesh Atzmacha B'Mutrala, sanctify yourself in that area which is permitted, and of course, holy. Lo Sheyizke Shetiya Shechina Shruya Beinehem, that the Shechina will truly dwell amongst those two people. Uberotzos Hashem Darkei Ish, God wants man's ways. This is part of human nature, that relationship. God wants that. And for that relationship to occur in such a way where love is created. V'lo yihiya oyevav anshei beisa. Powerful phrase. The members of your household should not be your enemies. Shouldn't be your enemies. Mm-hmm. Nishna.
Where is that?
I don't know. I don't know where that one's from. And I don't know the end of the quote, therefore, the end of the pasuk. I don't know what it is. It's either a chazal or a pasuk, and I don't know where it is.
So there's a delicate line between these are connected.
Right, exactly. A healthy, you know, balanced relationship, to be challenged by somebody in an uplifting way. But when two people become enemies, that's way over the line. So he says that's the area of Kedusha in Bris HaMa'or. He wants to take that to the sexual relationship of a husband and wife, and of course it includes the total relationship because it's all part of that. Kadesh is Atzmacha B'Mutalach, and I think the part of it that he's stressing here is the intimacy and the warmth and the closeness, that these are not two adversaries together, but that they're two people who are friends. The next category is Yelid Bayis. Those people born into his household, said by Avraham Avinu. Mora al tikun bris halashon, that hints to the bris of speech. Yelid Bayis.
So the first
was Anshei Beisa? Bris HaMa'or. Yeah, Bris HaMa'or. The second one is Bris HaLashon. Shelo Yihiya Orel Sefasayim. For a person not to misuse their speech. Sheyihiya Hadibur Nolad Mipnimius Halev. So that our speech is born from the inner content of our heart. That is beautiful. That's what it means, those who were born of your house. Your house means your body. And who is born of your house? Your words. You give over a word, you have just given birth to a word. And there's that connection again between the creative process of speech and the other that we mentioned, sexuality. They're both creative processes. That word was not around before. You said it. You produced a new being in the world. That's creativity, that's speech. You lead by it. It should come from the heart. Below me hasafa ulahutz, and not simply from the lips and outward, lacking any content. Shezehu nikra moledes chutz. That's called that it was born on the outside.
Is
it does come from
reference
the lips.
To another phrase?
Yeah, you have Moledes Bayis and Moledes Chutz. I don't know if it's there by the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, but you do have both. Yeah, you're not chayv to circumcise Moledes. Yeah, I just can't get the. Maybe someone open up the chumash and just take a look at the end of Lech Lecha. I don't think it's mentioned there.
I don't
think so. The Kaisher Yisaken Ha'adam Eshtei Habrisos, when a person then works on rectifying these two brisos, these covenants, both the one of speech and the one of sanctifying ourselves with that which is mutter, Shelo Yihiya Araba Serva Aral Sefasayim, so that we don't have orla, foreskin, so to speak, on our flesh and on our lips, Memeila Yihiya Tikun Shelo Yihiya Aral Lev. then automatically one's heart will become open. So here he's suggesting that you don't go straight to the heart. You might not get there. But there's a way to get to it. You fix your speech, elevate your speech, elevate your sexuality, then mamela, the consequence of that is going to be your heart will open up. It's a direct consequence. Shezen nimshach mi pagam habrisos, because that is an extension of the impairment of both of those bris. If you work on correcting them, your heart will be corrected as well.
Yes. Like a parallel, like it's something
that's like olive. You put them on your heart, and then from there they'll go. It doesn't say the self about them.
How do you
yes
deal with it? I mean, you have the differences between people who are precise, analytical, very careful with every word that they use, etc., and they very often very cut off from all of their feelings. And then there are people who are passionate and angry, and things come out of their mouths that shouldn't be coming out of their mouths, etc. You can't say they're cut off from their feelings. Maybe they're dealing with their feelings in the wrong way. So, I mean, how do we?
I think that's it. Yeah, that it doesn't just mean the ability to, to speak, but it's the ability to speak in a way which is edifying, which is uplifting. It's not just verbalization, but it's appropriate, elevated, kedushadik of verbalization. You could have a person who's really careful with their words, like you said, but they're not thinking about, right, wrong, per se, in Torah terms. It's other things that is guiding that very strict definition from what they say. Now we're talking about one's words in terms of tov and ra, or necessary and unnecessary, as far as avatara would say. And you could have a person who's very, verbal and articulate, and extremely at the same time in touch with their feelings and able to say their feelings well. And I think you could have a person who's much more sparing with their words and be just as in touch. Because it's a matter of how you use them based on your personality.
What we're really looking for is the pathway to the heart.
So. Yes. Yeah, he's trying to say how do you, in this mimer as I see it, this will eventually open up a person's heart.
But it's just a very powerful idea, it seems to be that like our relationship with Shem, the heart is not whether or not it opens
or not, it's
direct.
It's like more of an indirect process. Right. You've got to do certain things, and then the heart will, right, in turn open.
We have faith, we have the duck, and that it will open.
Right. Sometimes
the wait seems like it's too long,
right,
or but it requires
a
sense of faith in our own heart.
Very good point. So he says, Umiknas Kesef Me'es Ben Nechor, this is also the Derech Remez. Those acquisitions that he had through money, literally, from the nations around him. That's just a pshat. What's the idea? Shemora albathinas aral lev. That refers to the orla over the heart. Shekosef umisave letavas nehor. A person whose heart is desirous and has things that it is, you might say, tempted or strongly, attached to, but they may be all the wrong things. So, they are emotionally feeling, but it's completely misguided. Nimolu ito, says that all of those things, as a result of the others, will be circumcised as well. Behimolu es urlas basurus basaim yihye nimol gamor lesalev. When we circumcise, so to speak, our mouth and our sexuality, then mamela automatically, or less halev, where our passions are attached to, will be altered. So we have a certain habit, that our passions are attached to certain things, not all of them good. And we may not be able to alter that, but if we take this path, they will be altered. If we watch our speech and watch our sexuality in those creative areas, our passions will be redirected. Shelo yihya lo timtum halev, and that the covering of the heart will be removed. V'sheyikabel hisarus b'levavo, it will open up our hearts to receiving inspiration. L'galos hanakuda hapnimis, to reveal the inner essence of the heart. Al yidei hadiburim hayotzi min halev, words that flow from the heart. Yihiyuf nichnasim el halev, and they will return to the heart. Lihiyos nisha rishimo hakol hayom, and it will affect us the whole day, not just for that moment. Lihiyos bibichines umaltem es orla levavichem. As it says, you shall circumcise the orla of your heart. So that's a hasaga that he says here, which I think is just one of his most amazing thoughts, if I could venture to say so. That he says on that chazal that devorim hayotzi min halev nichnasim el halev, words that come out of the heart, they go into the heart. He says it's your own heart. The pshat of that is that if I say something from my heart, it's going to go into your heart, and vice versa. That's the pshat. He says it also works like this. If I say something from my heart, it's going to go back into my heart too. It will affect my own heart. And that comes from the redirected passions of a person as a result of the tikkun of speech and the tikkun of the next part is kind of a different idea, the next section of it, but this covers this part of it. Anybody have any comments?
The concept of Lashon Hara is advanced by the idea that, you know, this is something that you do because it's external thing, you know, the community norm that we abide to everybody because of the national. This is also a second way to look at that. It's also, you know, for your own health.
Right. And like many mitzvahs, you know, there are many layers, you know, of positive effects that it will have, both in terms of society and in terms of the individual. That's the point. It's not just going to benefit society, but the person's own spiritual growth. Yeah. Yes, Josh? Yes, you're correct, gentlemen.